We'll cast that out later. Except we can't cast out her, can we? like that man laid hands on that crazy woman. He said, "You foul woman, come out of that devil." He'd rather have the devil than that woman. Brother Shambach told us, this woman came to him and said her husband said he's a devil. Oh, he's a devil. Said he drinks and he cheats and he beats me up and all this stuff. She said, pray for him. He started praying for her, and the spirit moved. She began to tremble, and she said, "Ooh, my. He said, "Wait a minute, what is that, girl?" She said, "That's the Holy Ghost." He said, "You get to praying like that before your husband gets home, and when the Holy Ghost is moving, he comes in the door, you cast that thing out of him." She said, "All right." Well, she went home that night, and sure enough, he came in, and she's all ready. And she laid hands on him, and she said, "Come out." He hit the floor. Boom. Devil went out of him, went in their dog. And that dog let out a rah, and jumped over them, ran out the door, and ran down the road. It's a true story. She came back to Brother Shambach's tent the next night, and she brought her husband sitting there on the second row, and he's about to read his text. She said, "Hey, Brother Shambach." He said, "What is it, girl?" She goes, "Here he is. Here's that devil." He said, "Come up here and tell the story." Just gave her the microphone. Says he didn't have to preach that night. She preached it for him. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Spirit moves. God says. This week I visited with one of my little neighbors. I posted it on Facebook, her picture. 5 years ago, next month is when this happened. And we went to visit with her. My friend sells plants and stuff, and she had asked him to bring her some stuff, and we did. She's just a few blocks down the street. This thing is going crazy. And she looked terrible. She was skin and bones. She looked gray. It looked like a lot of people do when they've got cancer in the final stages. And I asked her what was wrong, and she began to tell us the doctors don't know. They have no idea what was wrong with her. Let me just let you in on a little something. If the doctors don't know what the disease is and they can't figure it out, 9 times out of 10, it's either a demon or they've gotten hold of some kind of poison. Something has poisoned them. So it's one of those. You need to get the word of the Lord to know which one it is. But she said the doctors can't figure it out. They don't know what it is. They just know that she's dying. She's only got 3 or 4 months or so left to live, the way, at the rate that her body is. It's literally eating itself up from the inside out. She's just imploding. And the doctors can't figure it out. They just give her pain meds just to mask it, make her comfortable until she passes away. What a terrible thing. And I felt so bad for her. And, of course, she's a Latin lady and she's Catholic. And, you know, and so I, you know, you want to try to help her, but you have to go around all this doctrine and stuff to try to get to her, to get her faith up. And so we got in the car and we left, and we got about 2 blocks down the street, and the Holy Spirit moved. And God said, he said, "Someone has used witchcraft on her. They hired a curandero." That's in Latin America. Curandero is basically a witch doctor. And people will hire them to put a curse on somebody. Or they'll, you know, hire them, get a love potion from them, you know, and stuff like that. But then they'll hire them also to put a curse on somebody, to kill them, if there's something that they want from them. And the Lord said to me, "Someone in her family hired a curandero to curse her to death." He said, "Go back and cast that out of her, and she'll live and not die." I told my friend, I said, "Call Maria. Tell her I want to come back and pray for her, if that's okay." He called. She said, "Oh, please come back." I turned that car around, went back there, went inside, and I said, "This is what it is." I said, and had some of her family were sitting in the living room, And one of them that was partly responsible for this was in there listening. I said, someone in your family hired a curandero to put a curse on you. And this is a demon. And I can cast it out if you give me permission. See, you can't exercise authority over somebody else's domain unless they give you permission. Are you listening? That's why we don't just run out of here and go walking down the street and knock on the door and everybody answers the door and say, come out. You know, they come out. You know, that's why you can't do that. I had a woman call me one day. She said, my daughter's in a mess. I mean, would you meet me over there and cast that spirit out? I said, no. You won't? I said, no. I said, she doesn't want it out, number one. And she's not under my authority, number two. I said, you want it out, but she doesn't. She likes it. She did. That girl liked that spirit. It let her do all kinds of things. You really won't meet me? I said, no, I really won't meet you. Well, fine. She hung up on me. She got mad. Fine. She wasn't going to give me an offering anyway. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. She wasn't going to give me $216, was she? My friend Maria, I explained to her what it is. I said, Jesus, help us. I just felt my help show up here. I said, I have the authority and the power to cast it out. And I guess I got blazing eyes like I'm feeling them right now. And she said, do it. I laid hands on her. I said, you spirit, I break your power off of her body. I cast you out and I send you back to the one that sent you. Go! All of a sudden, rosy cheeks started coming up on her and color started coming back. I stood there and within a matter of seconds, watched it happen. In 2 days, she had no symptoms whatsoever. And now she's a chubby little grandma. And if you go on my Facebook and see that picture, she's standing out there with her gloves on. She was working in her garden. She's a chubby little grandma. She's got two little toddler grandchildren. She just loves to chase. I pulled up there and driven past before, and she's out there chasing them around, just all the energy in the world. And she's just enjoying her life. And I really think there's some witch down in Mexico that's probably really sick or dead right now because that thing went back. And now let me tell you some experiences. If a witch sends a curse and somebody with the authority of Jesus Christ sends it back, it makes that demon so mad at the witch for putting that demon in harm's way. That the demon goes back and attacks the witch. Are you listening? My best buddy that lives with me now, when I guess we hadn't been friends but 3 or 4 or 5 months, we went to a restaurant to eat over there on University Street. It used to be called Good Eats Cafe. It's a Silver Fox or something now. It's more Marshall's kind of stuff, you know. And the old Silver Fox over there. And they had the booths and they had the high backs on them. You know? So if you're sitting down in a booth, you can't really see people in the other booths, you know, kind of semi-private, I guess. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden, I got so nauseated. Oh, my goodness. And I don't ever do that. And I mean, I was just about to throw up. It was just sudden hit. And I recognized it was demonic. And I knew what was going on just from experience. And I told my friend, I said, well, I said, you're in for a crash course. He said, what's going on? I said, if you're going to hang out with me, he said, you may as well get used to some of this stuff happening. He said, what's the matter? I said, there's a Satanist in this restaurant, and he's trying to put a curse on me, and I'm going to send it back. He's like, okay. And I just quietly said, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. I send you back. I had no sooner said back when from the other side of the restaurant we hear, wah, wah. And this man jumped up and is running for the restroom. God is my eternal witness. He had on a black robe from neck to floor and a great big gold upside down pentagram hanging around his neck. 100% Satanist. And he's throwing up on himself because what he tried to send on me got sent back on him. And it made that devil so mad it attacked him with it. Listen, there is a reality to the spirit world. Are you listening? And when we learn to walk in this, when we learn to walk in it, do you know that when a demon sees you, when you walk into a room and a demon sees you, because you're born again, see, they're looking at things spiritually because they're in the spirit world and you are a spirit being. But you're born again. You've got a new genetic code. That's why when you're born again, it says it's by the washing of regeneration. Regenerated. Regene. You got new genes. You had the old Adamic genetic code, but when you got born again, you got the second Adam genetic code. That's Jesus Christ. You got regenerated. You got new genes. And when you walk into a room, the devil cannot tell the difference between you and Jesus Christ himself until you open your sweet little religiously brainwashed mouth and you say something dumb like, "Everybody in my family gets the flu this time of year." Like it's funny. "Oh, I, you know, can't do anything about it." Just the sovereignty of God. Because God is in control. Those are the worst words you could ever say out of your Christian mouth. God is in control. No, he's not. How quiet it got him. If he's in control, why did he need to give you authority? Luke 10:19, "I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If he's in control, why do you need authority? Because you live in the earth wearing an earth suit. God doesn't. He did. He came, showed us how to do it. Then he died and was raised from the dead, and now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of power in heaven. And anything you do in his name, he'll back you up. Hallelujah. My little friend Maria, she went back down to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, and all the same doctors that couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, now they said, "There's nothing wrong with you. Not a thing. You're the healthiest grandma we've seen." Couldn't figure it out. It just spontaneously disappeared. Couldn't figure it out. She was dying last week. She's thriving this week. How? That demon went out. And when the devil went out, life came in. Abundant life came in. Hallelujah. What happened? The Spirit moved, and God said. See, if you live your life where you are always allowing the Spirit to move, he wants to say something to you, he can. Some people get so busy, some people are afraid to hear what the Lord's going to say to them. I used to fight with my dad. Oh, my goodness. And it wasn't about yard work or... It was doctrine. Can you imagine that? Oh, my dad, his whole family, you know, they grew up very strict Pentecostal environment. And he was strict up in his old age. And he and I, he'd come at me. "You can't do that. You got to live like this. You got to do it like that. You got to dress like this. You got to dress like this. You got to do all this stuff, you know." And we'd try to go have lunch. We'd end up arguing. Arguing the Bible. Can you imagine me? Can you imagine me arguing the Bible? Be quiet, Tony. I'm driving down the street after I was already mad at him. We'd gone to lunch somewhere, and he went his way. I went mine. I'm mad. And I'm complaining to God about him. I'm heading east on I-20. And as I'm crossing the bridge over Forest Hill Drive, I remember exactly where I was. It was like somebody had snuck into my car and was sitting in the back seat behind me, and I didn't know they were back there. And now this happens to me a lot. When I was a student at Christ for the Nations, an old prophet, I can't remember his name, he was a very unique man of God because he wouldn't just say, the Lord says this, the Lord says this. No, he didn't do that. He had almost the whole Bible memorized in his head. And God would pull these scriptures up to him. And he even got these little notepads made. And his wife was always with him. And it was a beautiful little notepad. I've still got mine. And it says on there, a word from the Lord just for you. And he'd tell you, and I just went up to say hello to him. He was a guest speaker there, Christ for the Nation. I was a brand new student because we had mutual friends. I went to tell you, Carol Cartwright. And I want to say, Carol Cartwright said to tell you hello. And he said, and he stopped me. He goes, he pointed at his wife. She pulled her notepad out and her pen. He said, he started quoting off scriptures, this and that, 5:24 and, 14:10, all this. And one of them was, he said, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And after that, there's been many times I have literally heard a voice behind me. Always sounds like he's right here behind my right shoulder when that happens. I've heard a voice by true prophetic word. This was one of those days. God was hiding in the back seat. Didn't let me know he's back there and nearly made me run off the road. I'm complaining, driving east on 20. As I'm going over the Forest Hill Drive Bridge, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. He said, why don't you leave that old man alone? I went, what? He said again, why don't you leave that old man alone? About this volume, I heard it audibly. I said, because he's wrong, and he needs to be straightened out. And then he kept, still audible, he said, I'll straighten him out when he gets up here with me. But in the meantime, you leave that old man alone. I said, yes, sir. And I never argued with my dad again after that about anything. I never told my dad that God called him an old man. Never told him. The sad thing, he was much older than what I am now. But I'm not old. I'm just wise. God says he'll speak to you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you what to do. He'll instruct you. Am I just rambling? Is anybody learning anything here today? See, we're in the spirit. We're in the flow. I'm not in a hurry. Not in a hurry. I don't care where Cherry's got to be in a little while. We're okay. Hallelujah. When the spirit moves, God will speak. God will speak. God will speak. I have seen so many miracles when God moves. The church that we grew up in, some of us here, we grew up in, from the time I was 6 until I graduated from high school, that year I graduated from high school, those years, 7 people we saw raised from the dead in the building. Well, one of them was on the sidewalk outside behind the building. Brother Buckner was. And they were, actually, he died twice out there, and they called him back. And then they picked him up and got him in the pastor's study. I think he died 3 more times in the pastor's office on the couch. And the 5th time, they held him here. And he lived. He lived another 20 years, I think. Hallelujah. See, it's reality. This is reality. This is the Christian walk. This is the way it's supposed to be. And we have to learn to flow in these things. I remember Sister Josie. Remember Sister Josie? They used to have women's prayer meeting, 10 a.m. every Tuesday morning. And they think she got there 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. We didn't lock the doors back then. And she got back there in that prayer room and had a heart attack and died. And they don't know how long she's dead, but she was getting stiff when they found her. I don't know how long it takes for rigor mortis or whatever to set in, but she had fallen over, she was kneeling at an altar bench and died and fell over this way. When she did, this hand was laid up against the altar bench. And when they got there, they tried to pull her away, and the hand stayed up. And Sister Watkins and Sister Griffin and several people went, ladies that were there, Sister Swain, all them, they gathered around and they began to pray, called her back. And she sat up and she said, "What's going on?" Said, "You were dead. D-E-D, dead. You were capital D-E-D, dead." She says, "No, I wasn't." "Yes, you were. I ran into her some 30 years later when she's 90. 90-something. Still driving. And ran into her in a parking lot of a grocery store. Sister Josie, how are you doing?" She was an immigrant from France right after World War II. So precious. She said, "Well, I think I'm getting ready to go to heaven." I said, "You are?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you know, you went once a long time ago." She said, "Yeah, but I'm going to stay this time." I said, "You do that, Josie. You stay. You get there, you stay. You've earned it." 2 weeks later, Josie went to heaven. She was right. Hallelujah. Our little friend, Sister Watkins. See, I'm still talking about the Spirit moves, and God will say, He'll tell you what to do. Sometimes they die, let them go. And I remember Brother Hagin talking about a fellow in his church that was getting ready to die, and the guy had lived a horrible, horrible life. And Brother Hagin was trying to get him healed and, you know, all this stuff, and God said, "Let him go. I've been dealing with him for decades. And he'll never have a better time to go than now." Wouldn't you hate for God to have to say that to you? Was it you I told, talking about the other day? One of the worst things I've ever heard is when God, you go to pray for somebody that's sick and God says, "Don't put your hands on them. They're going to die." That's an awful thing to hear. And so Sister Watkins got a phone call from her son. Daddy, he had a heart attack. They had a construction company and stuff. And Darlene used to fix Sister Watkins' hair all the time. She was a powerful woman of God. Quiet in prayer. She'd always never hear her talk above this right here. And she was country. And she was slow. "How are you, Brother Danny? It's so good to see you." And you remember when we used to roller skate and you'd run up on the carpet and you y'all, yeah, you kind of feel like that when Sister Watkins talking. You know, it's so slow. Her son called, Daddy had a heart attack. They've taken him to the hospital." She goes to the hospital. Went in there. The doctor came out. "Mrs. Watkins, oh, we're so sorry. You know, we did everything we knew to do." And she's got the doctor by the hand. She consoled the doctor. "Thank you, doctor. I'm sure you did everything you knew how to do. Just take me to him." She's right back here. I had the sheet pulled up here, you know. She goes over, reaches in and gets him. His name was Sterling. Took him by the hand. She said, "Sterling, I still need you. Let's go home." And he sat up and went home with her. I don't know why she needed him. He was an awful man. I don't speak ill of the dead, but you know, he was high ranking in the Masonic Lodge, which I think, my theory, is what drove Juanita to her knees because of all that demonic junk in the Masons. And in the process, it made a spiritual giant out of her. That's my theory. And it's better than anything you got, so anyway. About 2-3 years later, found out Sterling had cancer and was in the hospital dying. And myself and two friends, we all three grew up in Truth Church and knew Sister Watkins. And used to be a Polito's. They're on 35 and Felix. And on Tuesday night, they had enchiladas for, what, $2.99, something like that, or $1.99, whatever. It was a good day. See, everybody knows about that. And so three of us are going to go over there and have some enchiladas. As we're going in the door, there's Sister Watkins. She's paying, getting ready to leave. Well, see, she's been my prayer partner since I launched out in ministry in high school. You know, I had about 12 or so. I called them my praying mamas. And it was Sister Watkins, Sister Griffin from our church. And they were two of my praying mamas. And so, in fact, they were the first ones, you know, and then Sister Moberly and then Carol Cartwright and these others. And so she's there, and so she's heading out the door, and I hugged her neck, and she said, well, Sterling's not doing well. And I said, well, Juanita, you know, we got the victory. She said, well, Brother Danny, it's victory either way. And she left, and I turned to my friends, Fernando Silva and Nathan Ruth. I turned to them, and I said, he's going to die. They said, how do you know? I said, because she said it's victory either way. She raised him up once. So she says it's victory either way. He's going to die. I'm telling you, in 48 hours, the man was gone. She had victory either way. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Can I just... I don't want to drown anybody. I want to move on into something even a little bit deeper. I want to talk about Juanita, something else. They had me share this at her funeral. We had a reunion picnic thing right out here in Alvarado, over here where you had this, I don't know what you call it, that round indoor thing right down the street here. But anyway, maybe something. We had barbecue and all this stuff. So... one of my aunts, my dad's brother's wife, well, you know, Jesus even said, a prophet's without honor except in his own house, in his own family. You know, the people that, you know, we saw you grow up. You know, we know you since you were a kid. So, you know, prophet, preacher, really, him? You know, this is Danny. You know, we know Danny. Snot-nosed little brat. You know, we've known him since he was a baby. And so that sometimes your family won't respect you too much, you know, because they think they know you. And so, but everybody in that church respected Sister Watkins because she was a giant in the Spirit. And so I went over and sat down, and Juanita came over and sat down right here. And so my aunt went, what's the relationship with those two? She didn't know this is one of my praying mamas, and she stands with me anytime I go out and preach. She's praying for me. She didn't know all this stuff. So she's curiosity got the best of her. So she came around and sat down here at the end of the table because she wants to eavesdrop on our conversation. Some of you remember my Aunt Carolyn. Darling, darling, sweet, precious lady. And so she never said a word. She just listened. And Juanita said something, and I didn't want to just look at Carol and go, you know, see? You don't want to do that. But out the corner of my eye, I'm watching her eyebrows go up. Because Juanita said, Brother Danny, I had an experience in the Lord the other day, and I want you to judge it for me. And I could feel her eyebrows going up over here. She wants him to judge something for him. And I wanted to go, yes, me. <Didn't>, yeah. You go tell all the rest of them. You have to, you know, crucify your pride, you know. And so she began to tell me this story. They brought a woman to church. This was Brother Lyle's church over there in Burleson. They brought this woman to church before the service, and she was demon-possessed. And as soon as she walked in the auditorium, she started losing control of herself. And so they took her back to the prayer room. Well, in these Pentecostal churches, you know, if somebody's got a problem, all the other church folks, they get on them like, you know, chicken with a sore head. You know, they're all, you know, everybody's got to have their hand there, and they, you know, everybody wants to be the great deliverer, you know. Have my part, want my part played. So all these women in the prayer room, they're all gathered around this woman. They're screaming and hollering and doing what Pentecostal women do, you know. And Juanita walked. Somebody had gone and got her, and she came. Well, there's no way she can't even get to the woman because there's about five women deep. And this woman's over in the corner, and they're all gathered around, and she's, you know, she's full demonic manifestation. So Juanita quietly, slowly, and she went slow. She had two speeds, slow and slower. And she went over, and she Marshall, tell the truth. Juanita, and she had the big old beehive hairdo. And when we were kids, it was red. She was redheaded, remember? Redheaded. And then as she got older, it became cayenne, salt, and pepper, you know. Gray and white got mixed in with that red. But bless her, there she is with that Tower of Babel on her head. And that's what it looked like. And she went over and she knelt down on the other side of the room by herself, knelt down. And she said to me, Brother Danny, the minute I knelt down, I was out of my body. And I had my hand on the latch of a door. She said, Jesus. She said, I unlatched it and pushed it open. And when I did, it was a dark, dark room. And she said, on the other side of the room in the corner was that woman who was back in the prayer room manifesting the demons. But this woman had a chain and shackled around her neck, around her wrist, around her waist, and around her ankles with chains. And the chains went out, and the chains were attached to this demon and another demon. And another demon, the room was filled with demons, and they all had a hold of the chains that were fastened to this woman. And when she walked into the room, you see, now this is what I believe. God let her walk into that woman's soul. You say, well, I don't know about that. Listen, you are a spirit being. Just like the Holy Spirit is a spirit, like a demon is a spirit. If a demon could be in that woman because they're a spirit, if God took Juanita out of her body temporarily and she's in spirit form, she can go into her. That's just, I know this gets deep, but this is what I'm thinking. And she walked over to the one. She said, as she walked in, the demons began to tremble. Boy, you better believe they did. And she went over to the woman and took her by the hand. And she said, sweetheart, come on, let's go. And as she lifted her up, all the shackles unfastened and fell off of her. And she led the girl out of that bondage room. And then she pulled the door shut. Kaboom. And as soon as the door shut, Juanita said, she's back in her body. And she heard shouts and screams of victory on the other side of the prayer room. And the woman is over there jumping up and down, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost, completely delivered in that instant from all those demons. Get this. The story ain't done. The woman who had never seen Juanita before in her life steps over the little chubby Pentecostal women, because they are. Hallelujah. And she gets around and she runs over to Juanita and she says, lady, how did you do that? She saw her come into her soul where she was bound, and Juanita led her to victory and freedom. How did you do that? Because the Spirit of the Lord moved and God said, and let there be light. And light was. Let the earth bring forth. Separate the waters. You want to know how powerful it is when the Spirit of the Lord moves? Then God says, separate the earth from the waters. Let the earth bring forth all the plants and the seeds and the herbs, and let it bring forth the lions and the tigers and the donkeys and the giraffes, oh my, and all these things, and bring it all to pass. And then when the Spirit is still moving, He moved, Jesus help, He moved for 6 days.
Whew.
Hallelujah. 6-day revival at the very beginning of creation. The Spirit of God moved for 6 days. And as long as He moved, God said, until finally God said, let us make man in our image. And while the Spirit's moving, God made man. And the reason you're here today is because the Spirit of the Lord moved. Woo! And you know what? He's still moving. He likes to move. He likes to move. Hallelujah. It's why if you're locked up in a Roman prison at midnight, Paul and Silas knew what to do. We need the Spirit to move. So what they do, they worshiped. They worshiped. They worshiped. Play me some soft music back there, brother, if you got some. Hallelujah. They worshiped. And when the Spirit moved, the prison shook. Hallelujah. You need a miracle in your life? Let the Spirit